Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Paul Revere's lantern lighter is lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. It's time for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity. A gourmet meal for the mind.
In 2011, 58% of Americans thought Obama was honest and trustworthy. I know. And then only a couple years later, 2013, it has dropped to 49%. This poll showed that the issue of greatest concern to Americans is the IRS scandal, with 44% expressing concern about that. And then Benghazi comes in at a distant second with 24%. And the seizure of journalist records comes in at 15%. Now, all of these are deeply disturbing with very serious implications, but underneath this poll is something yet more disturbing. 43% of Americans say that Obama's lying about how Ambassador Stevens was killed was, quote, just politics, end quote. Americans were outraged when Nixon lied, amused when Clinton lied, and now it's accepted as just politics? Well, that is, if it's a Democrat usurper holding the presidency, because if a real president believes intel of his own government and, what was it, three or four allies, that Iraq was developing WMD, that's weapons of mass destruction, and then acts on that intel after giving Saddam every possible opportunity to prove otherwise and refusing to do it, and then it's later discovered that the intel was not accurate. Or that during the UN stalling maneuvers, Saddam managed to get most of it out of the country. We have pictures. Well, then the Democrats will scream to the top of their lungs, covered in pink tees. Bush lied! Bush lied! But you know, catch a Democrat in a bald face lie, and well, yawn, you know, that's just politics. And you know what I don't get? Why do not Americans care that when Obama heard our ambassador was under assault, he just yawned and went to bed? He did not go to the Situation Room, as you would expect him to do. We were told he went off to bed. Now, there are questions about what he did on those fateful hours. But the impression I got was the guy went to bed and put what amounts to a do not disturb sign on his door. Yeah, we don't know what he was doing. But we do know that when he learned that there could be some political blowback on this or some political fallout blowing his way over all this, well, then suddenly he got engaged, man. He got real interested then. Then it became time to make some phone calls, to get engaged, to take care of business. The cold-hearted man didn't become personally involved in the Benghazi matter until it became just politics. It is a sad day in this country when the death of an American ambassador is reduced to just politics and when lying presidents get a pass because that, after all, is just politics. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Quote, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, end quote. Proverbs 12:8. And it's sad, my friends, when 44% of Americans dismiss Obama's Benghazi lies as just politics and then the PA, that's the president alleged, takes no interest in it until it is exactly that to him, just politics. You're probably getting many of the same emails I receive, some saying that the Coptic Christian who produced the infamous Muhammad is a pedophile womanizing murderer film, Nakula Basili Nakula, he is a political prisoner. Many are under the impression that Basili was put into prison because of his involvement in producing this offensive film. The charge against Basili was violating the terms of his probation, which was part of a sentence he got for being involved in bank fraud. Yep, the guy is a fraudster. So he is in jail because he violated the terms of his probation, not because he made an offensive film. And many liberals are using this as an example of conservatives going off the deep end and being careless with the truth and making baseless accusations against this administration. Well, you know, let's examine this for a few minutes, shall we? Because, you know, with all these things going on, I mean, the idea that the government might manipulate the system to cover up keeping a political prisoner is not so far-fetched as it might have seemed to be in the past. I mean, with the clear evidence that Obama was involved in using the IRS to attack conservative groups, and then the implications of his involvement in the Benghazi cover-up, and his involvement in using the DOJ to persecute political enemies and shield his buddies, yeah, it's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate concern. Here's an example from Newsmax. Quote, the Benghazi patsy, end quote, by Rich Lowry. Quote, Nakula Basile Nakula deserves a place in American history. He is the first person in this country jailed for violating Islamic anti-blasphemy laws, end quote. So you see what I mean. We know that the charges against Basile did not include anything about this movie, his movie-making activities. I think that movie was called The Innocence of Islam or something like that, except that it was in the course of making that movie that he did violate his terms of probation. You see, he wasn't supposed to use any aliases, and he was not supposed to use the internet without permission from his whatever you call that guy who watches parolees and stuff. But in the course of making his anti-Islamic spoof on Muhammad, the imbecile used the alias Sam Basile and used the internet to promote the movie. But maybe you should look a bit more deeply to understand why guys like Lowry are suspicious that the same administration that has used the IRS to intimidate and obstruct conservative voters, the IRS scandal, and who has used the DOJ to shield his buds and persecute his enemies, and I've got several articles showing that, and then he has used his role as commander-in-chief to purge Christians from the military. Yeah. They don't like this proselytizing business, you know, people telling people about their faith and all that. And his office as chief executive to use executive orders to circumvent Congress and our laws. And that bit about leading the Congress, leading the charge a while back when the Congress and the Senate were in the hands of the Democrats and railroaded Obamacare into law over the objections of the American people. If you look at the allegation that the Obama administration is holding Basile as a political prisoner more closely, well, you might at least question what's going on here. Lowry does a good job expressing that suspicion. He continues saying that although you won't find any charge against him for making the movie anywhere in his conviction, quote, as a practical matter, though, everyone knows that Nakula would not be in jail or wouldn't be in jail if he hadn't produced a video crudely lampooning the Prophet Muhammad, end quote. Really? And why? Why would you say that? And after he reminds us of the attack on the U.S. facilities in Benghazi that killed four Americans, Ambassador Chris Stevens, Information Manager Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods, and then reminds us of Obama's disgusting response to this, where he purposely lied to throw Americans off track about what really happened, he points out, that is, Lowry points out, how aggressively the Obama administration centered its interest on Basile and pursued him as if he personally killed these Americans and not the terrorists who attacked them. Quote, after Benghazi, the administration was evidently filled with a fierce resolve to bring Nakula to justice. Charles Woods, the father of a Navy SEAL killed in Benghazi, said Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told him when his son's body returned to Andrews Air Force Base, quote, we will make sure that the person who made that film is arrested and prosecuted, end quote. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Clearly, she insinuated that Nakula was somehow directly responsible for the death of this father's son, when at that time she knew, right then and there, she knew that was not true. Continuing with Lowry's article, The Benghazi Patsy, quote, lo and behold, Nakula was brought in for questioning by five Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies at midnight, eventually arrested and held without bond, and finally thrown into jail for a year. He sits in La Tuna Federal Correctional Institution in Texas, even as the deceptive spin that blamed his video for the Benghazi attack looks more egregious by the day. Now, in quote, beside the, it looks like a misuse of the word egregious here. The point is, why would the administration direct so much energy in attacking this guy for violating a probation protocol, unless when he violated his terms of probation, he did it in commission of an actual crime? And here is the point, my friends. His probation was included the terms that he could not use an alias and he could not use the internet without permission. Now, do you think the DOJ, together with other agencies, would have invested this much time and resources to pursue a man like this for using an alias or an internet in violation of probation when it wasn't in the commission of any crime, when it was just for some other kinds of reasons? It might be hard to imagine, but you know what I mean? The fact is, no, they would arrest him, perhaps. They'd slap a fine on him or whatever, but they probably wouldn't do extended or any extra jail time. You know, the point is, this is overkill. Unless he violated his terms of probation in the commission of a crime, then they do. They come down hard on this sort of thing in that situation. Now, that's the point. What was the crime he committed that exacerbated these egregious violations of his probation terms, huh? Well, he made an offensive movie about Muhammad that the administration used as a cover for, well, for whatever really went down in Benghazi. And, you know, I have questions about that. And I'll continue with Lowry. Quote, a violation of probation, though usually produces a court summons and doesn't typically lead to more jail time unless it involves an offense that would be worth prosecuting in its own right under federal standards, end quote. Now, folks, there have been exceptions to this, as Lowry points out. Al Capone was a known gangster involved in racketeering and gangland killings, but he always managed to stay outside the reach of law. So they contrived a case against him for tax evasion, remember that? And then slammed him in the slammer, like forever. Way past what sentence a tax evader would normally expect. But you see, it was not about his tax evasion. It was about his gangland killings and racketeering. And the suspicion is, that's what's going on with Basile. Or in other words, it's not about his violation of the terms of his probation. It's about his participation in making that offensive movie about Islam's prophet. The problem is, in America, making a movie about Islam's prophet is not a crime, while racketeering and gangland killing is. You get the point? At least not in America, it isn't a crime to make a movie that lampoons somebody's faith, like they do Christianity very regularly. Perhaps, however, it will be a law in Obamistan. But in America, at least for the present, we still have the First Amendment. And thank God for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and that they continue to impede Obama's campaign to turn America into Obamistan. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. We Christians complain when our political leaders compromise their values, show contempt for the truth, and forsake the beliefs of our founders. Yet many Christians compromise their own values and beliefs to stay in churches that have forsaken their founders. The fact is, Christian, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Haven't you noticed that every corruption we complain about in our government began in our churches? The answer is clear. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Lighthouse Baptist Church has answered the call to return to the old paths. Will you? Join us this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Get ready for your brain massage. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. But take heart, my friends, Bible thump alert. Quote, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them, end quote, Isaiah 59:19. You know, it's all about low information voters right now, isn't it? We are in a bad way when the government is virtually run by the ignorant. Did you know, and I'm sure you know, that one of the concerns expressed by at least some of our founders, actually quite a few of them, over our system of government, the idea of government of, by, and for the people, was that the masses as a whole are not so bright. Alexander Hamilton is reputed as saying, I think it was in an argument or in a debate with Thomas Jefferson, quote, your people, sir, is nothing but a great beast, end quote. And what he meant is that putting the government into the hands of we the people was dangerous because most of we the people, especially at that time, were uneducated, were ignorant. At least that was the concern Alexander Hamilton had. They were not edumacated, you know, which is the reason Jefferson, by the way, proposed a system of public education for Virginia. Or in other words, Jefferson agreed with that ignorant voters would not bode well for this country, and an ignorant people are easily manipulated by clever liars. Abraham Lincoln, however, observed that while it is true you can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. Many of the things our founders debated among themselves are issues of present concern to us today. Many of their prophecies are coming true. Some of their fears and misgivings about whether our republic could survive in the hands of the people are being justified in this generation. And no, I'm not recommending we change that feature of our government. One example I often bring out, the fact that so many of our founders repeatedly warned against the vanity of attempting to govern a free but irreligious people. They believed the restraints of morality upon the conscience provided by religion, guided by the scripture, was the only real safeguard of law and order in any society of free men. They also believed, nevertheless, that men were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, the unalienable right to be free. So they embarked upon this grand experiment called American liberty and put the charge of this liberty into the hands of we the people. To safeguard the moral foundations that support freedom of we the people, they encouraged faith. They prayed. They quoted the Bible. They attended public worship. They never said things like America is no longer a Christian nation, or that it shouldn't be, or attempted to discourage Christians from speaking about their faith in the military or being involved in government. Nor did they ever threaten soldiers with court-martial if they prayed publicly while in uniform. All that's so absurd. In fact, George Washington openly recommended to all his troops that all or any who would claim the name Patriot should strive to claim the greater name of Christian. He considered these things inseparable. He considered religion and faith in Christ foundational to the support of our government. And so the Christian churches flourished in the land. Our founders also feared that unless the people were truthfully and faithfully informed, they could be duped and enslaved, and that they would then misuse their influence that they had given them in this government structure and end up elevating to power men who were vile. These founders, they believe the maxims we all take for granted but fail to apply practically to government for some reason. Everything rises and falls in leadership. The character of your leader does matter. Followership reflects leadership. No organization will rise above its leadership. All these sorts of things. Oh, and this one from the wisest man who ever lived, outside of God manifest in the flesh, of course. Quote, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted, end quote. Proverbs 12:8. Exalt a vile man to power, and the wicked crawl out from under their rocks and prowl the streets, preying upon us all. It increases the strength of the wicked and of evil in our society. That we the people must be informed was so profound a conviction among them, and generally believed, that there arose what is called the fourth establishment, the media or the press. And as I said, knowing the importance that the people be educated so they could read the news, you know, and sufficiently enlightened so they could understand the implications of it. Well, our founders encouraged the development of a public education system, assuring that every American would have access to at least a basic education. But friends, our churches have betrayed us. The media has betrayed us, and the school systems have betrayed us. The churches have betrayed us, and so America has generally turned its back on God, the fountain of our liberty. The churches have dumbed down discipleship so far that it's almost impossible to tell any difference at all between a Christian and a heathen. Terms that used to mean something in early American society. Today, Christians behave exactly like the world. For example, the divorce rate among Christians is what it is in the world. No difference at all. With rare exceptions, and I'll put Lighthouse Baptist Church in the category of those exceptions, Our Christian children behave, look, act, talk, and generally share the same values of non-Christians. Folks, we're the salt of the world, but we're salt that's lost its savor. And so we must remember the warning Jesus gave about that. He said that if the salt loses its savor, it's worth nothing but to be cast into the street and trampled under the foot of men. So the churches have betrayed us. Consequently, even though supposedly 78% of Americans claim to be born again, this seems to have little influence on the way they vote on issues like homosexual marriage and abortion and other things. In fact, they no longer look to the Bible as their moral compass. Indeed, they follow the same compass the heathen or the non-Christian follows, the political correct crowd that follows the compass of humanism. And that is why we're in such a mess in the morality department. That is why the people don't rise up in mass and demand a stop to killing babies in the womb. And that's why, even when the gory details of Gosnell's murdering babies born alive after a botched abortion surface, the general public hardly stirs. That's why some born-again pro-choice Christians continue to support abortion even when they discover what we've known all along, and that is that people who will murder a baby in the womb will have little qualms about murdering the baby outside the womb. Soon after the Gosnell trial, another one comes into light, another baby butcher. Quote, just the day after the conclusion of the infamous Gosnell House of Horrors trial, nurses at a Houston, Texas abortion clinic revealed that the abortionist for whom they worked had executed scores of born-alive babies with surgical instruments and at times with his bare hands, end quote. In Florida, at a GYN diagnostic center, bags and boxes filled with aborted babies of all ages were found stuffed behind blood-stained recliners in the recovery room. And what about Roberto Osborne in Miramar, Florida, who has a reputation for sending mothers to the emergency room with little hands or arm parts still in utero and the woman's insides so severely torn that it necessitated hysterectomies, end quote. I mean, you know, what you need to face up to is that this is not rare. The problem is that when these doctors perform late-term abortions, what do you think is going to happen? The baby is going to fight against that. Hello? The baby's fighting for its life, and it flails about in the womb in agony as that monster stabs and slices the baby to death in the womb. Yeah, you liberals, crack, I don't know what to say about you. You're just so blind. You don't understand that the baby in your womb is a living human being that has a natural instinct for survival. And I'll tell you something else. Look, the baby feels the pain of these attacks on its life, and it's fighting back. And when that happens, the surgical instrument gets kicked into the walls of the uterus often. So anyway, the churches have betrayed us, refusing to preach righteousness, spending all their time tickling ears, afraid to say things like I just said. And I say that as pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church, hello? The media betrayed us. It used to be a rare thing to find the media involved in cover-ups and hiding truth from the people. But now it is common practice. The media have betrayed their high calling, and so now the low information voter is left with, well, little information to instruct their decisions about what's going on in government. And, of course, our education system has woefully betrayed us. So many kids come out of high school with very limited critical thinking skills and very little reading and writing skills, by the way. In fact, our public schools, many of them, have become indoctrination camps for socialism. The communists used to boast they would spoon-feed us socialism until we became communists. You see, my friends, one angle on this low information problem that I think is getting enough attention is how it happened. While the American people in the beginning of this great country generally did not have a formal education, many were educated in their churches. And because of their fear of God, they had understanding. You know, in the fear of the Lord is understanding. You ever read that one? Quote, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, end quote. Psalm 111:10. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, end quote. And, you know, in the early years, you might notice this, some of you who are older might remember when common sense was, well, common. That's why it's called common sense. But we now use it to speak of unusual good sense. Think about this. There was a kind of wisdom in the we the people when the fear of the Lord was the general attitude of the populace, when there was a general regard and fear of God. Now, even though virtually all of we the people are given a public education, that education is used to indoctrinate them against the fear of the Lord, against belief in God, against the Bible. In other words, what has happened is that the public schools are militantly working against the churches. And at the same time, the churches are likewise abandoning their place in society as the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, over time, what do you expect to happen? Exactly what you're seeing now. The phenomenon of low information voters. We the people is becoming Jefferson's beast. So what do we do about this? Well, we need to revive the churches, and that means you need to take a close look at the church you attend and start asking some very important questions about whether it's part of the solution or part of the problem. If you attend an ear-tickling social club that avoids taking its role in the community as the pillar and ground of the truth, and avoids fulfilling the purpose for which Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, which is to reprove it of sin, righteousness, and judgment, friend, it's time you stop pussyfooting around and come out of her, my people. That's it. There it is. That's it. And then we need to band together and rise up in force and hold the media accountable for their lying and refusing to report the truth. And finally, we need to band together and rise up in force and hold our schools and teachers accountable to make certain they teach our kids how to read, write, think critically and intelligently, and put their feet to the fire when they try to indoctrinate our kids in socialism. And guess what? All of this begins in your home. Yeah, at the dining table, if you will. You've got to pull your family together. Do all you can to get them in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and truth-engaging church. It's time that America returns to the house of God. Now, I've lit the lamps in Church Belfry Arch. You call and let me know if you see that they are on. The number to call me is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. You say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Or you can write me by email. Go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com. It's a new page. If you've been there before, you'll see it's different. But now go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Look in the right-hand column. You might have to scroll down just a little bit. You'll see a little place there for you to select lights on or lights off and then write me a message. And by the way, I really do want to hear from you whether you're lights on or lights off. It is important that I hear from my audience. And that's thebrainmassageshow.com. So call me at 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And you don't need the one if you're using a cell phone. Or email me. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Call me today. Lights on or lights off. I'd like to hear from you. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from our founders and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. We Christians complain when our political leaders compromise their values, show contempt for the truth, and forsake the beliefs of our founders. Yet many Christians compromise their own values and beliefs to stay in churches that have forsaken their founders. The fact is, Christian, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Haven't you noticed that every corruption we complain about in our government began in our churches? The answer is clear. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Lighthouse Baptist Church has answered the call to return to the old paths. Will you? Join us this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. By the devil through lies and liars, Pastor Scheibach is charging the gates of hell. He wants to know if you've got his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.